There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
But here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Phone number and the text line, the same as they've been for, I guess, 17 years now. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. I got some text in here for our guest this hour. Also, one I'm going to clear up from the hour, the end of last hour, that's important. This is what happens when it's your show. Jim in Georgetown says, hey, I wanted to comment when April Marie was on, but I was busy making smoked turkey boudin. Now, Jim, and sent pictures. The address here, if you have a piece of paper, 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile, Alabama, 36609. If you'd like to deliver some smoked turkey boudin, I might just be your Huckleberry. So just put that out. Welcome in the man that we discussed last hour. We flipped around the schedule this week, but it's good because it's second Tuesday of the month that we get Sheriff Birch in studio and a lot to talk about. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And let me say, if that boudin is not properly tax stamped, the sheriff has to seize it and take possession of it.
See, okay, so, I mean, not all of it. You just take a cut of the
action? Just a cut.
Okay, just a cut of the action. I mean, I'll show you the pictures on the break. Oh, my gosh, you're killing me. I make wild turkey salad, and we ate that last night for dinner, but boudin? Come on, man, that looks fantastic. Right off the bat here, I want to ask this one, and Dirt Digger and some other people had asked about this the other day, and I think you and I had talked about it, but what y'all are doing with the sheriff's office for flags that need to be disposed of. There's a process, like I preach all the time because I'm a flag code nerd, but y'all are doing this, right?
We do. There's depositories at the substations, at our admin building, as well as one at the courthouse. And they will, collect them and get with the proper organizations to have them properly disposed of.
Okay, y'all. So that's, if you have that flag, and I'm happy that people have that flag, because if you have an old flag, take it down, put up a new, crisp, good-looking American flag. And this is, if you didn't go through Boy Scouts or the military, you may not know the procedure, but y'all do, and you got it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Questions coming. Yeah, we'll get some of these off the top here. Jason says, hey, can you ask the sheriff what the pistol permit fund is used for, and is it the sheriff's discretion to use those funds in other ways if he chooses?
Well, that'd be a yes and no question. There are parameters. It's audited just like, our budget money is audited, any other funds that a government entity would have. We primarily use it for vehicles because that's not covered by the budget, training, and there are a couple of contracts that come out of that fund.
Okay.
But it's pretty restrictive. So it's not like, people refer to it as a slush fund.
Yeah.
It's far from that.
And can we do this as I like to do every time this comes up, the concealed carry permit? If somebody's going to buy theirs, the default, default is, well, I'll just get a lifetime. If you want the money or any of the money to stay here, you don't get a lifetime.
Right. We don't discourage anybody from getting one, but a lifetime permit, all that money goes to Montgomery General Fund, where the 1 year and 5 years stays here locally.
Okay, so once again, y'all, and that would be because by default, you would think, oh, I'll just get the lifetime. But if you want that money, I mean, if I'm going to do that money, I don't want it to go to Goat Hill into the general fund. I want it to be with my, if you're in Mobile County or Baldwin County, with my sheriff's department, one or 5 year.
Yep.
All right. So got those cleared. This next one here got good text right away. Trace says, I got a question for the sheriff. Can you ask him to explain to us what is broken with the sheriff's department? I guess he's reacting to ads out there.
Our budget's broken. But, you know, we got so little short on the budget this budget year. But I think we're going to get to a point where we can make some adjustments. There were some projections made that I think were maybe not accurate, and we're going back to the drawing table. But, no, I mean, sheriff's office is in great shape. You know, we're running the month with what we have. We're fully staffed on the enforcement side, a little short on the correction side. And I'd be willing to say you ask, you know, 99 out of 100, you know, of my coworkers, they'll tell you they're really happy with where they work and how things are going.
Well, I'll add this in, too. I thought I was going to do it last hour, but I just came to mind right now. And I can segue into this because there was a deputy present. I don't know if they watched. There's a deputy present. Stopped the gas station, my son and I, this morning. And go in there, he's getting a snack or whatever. I'm watching what's going on. And I said, all the law enforcement's here. There was a sheriff's deputy, there was a state trooper on the site, and then there was a Mobile Police Department, man, where I live outside the city limits, but they were obviously going to work. This officer did what we all do, like hold a door open, there's some people coming in. But then it's that time of morning when everybody's coming in. I saw a Mobile police officer, and I did report him to the authorities, sat and held the door for about 25 people. He had a lot of gold on his shoulder there, but sat there. And so just good on you. There are people watching, citizens. I mean, I was like, he's going to let it go now. Those people were halfway. He stood there. I mean, it was like 3 or 4 minutes. So good on you, officer. I know that's a side note, but
it is. I mean, and again, most law enforcement are courteous. We're here to serve and, you know, be part of the community.
And it's not like I'm surprised that he held the door. Like, we all, but he just kept, I'm like, I know this guy's got to go somewhere.
I get stuck at church like that sometimes. You're
waiting for the, you're looking, you're trying to make contact with another guy. That, like, yep. Are you taking over my shift here? This texture says, who is Sheriff Birch supporting in the Monroe County Sheriff's race? I would assume they all know each other and work together.
Tom Boatwright. Without a doubt. He's a really good sheriff.
This one, unnamed texter, I think, here. I'm curious why officers, or I guess in your case, deputies, are going to the extreme of arresting people for things like no seatbelt or no license or insurance. The sheriff recently commented about not enough officers to do the job. Instead of wasting time to arrest, transport, book into jail, maybe they could focus on dangerous crimes and let the ticket traffic court handle all these other small infractions. It wastes time and money to handle all of these nonviolent and non-moving violations in jail.
Well, I'm not
y'all
sure.
Y'all don't do a lot of traffic.
No,
I mean,
so I'm not sure where that comment's coming from.
Maybe that's...
But if I get the gist of what's being said, they are probably active warrants where they're either failed to show up for court multiple times and all that. And, you know, do you just keep ignoring the fact that somebody's not obeying the system and taking care of their issues? You know, but just given that scenario, if I had to guess, it's probably somebody who had multiple warrants for traffic infractions not showing up for court.
Okay.
Law is the law.
We'll come back to the text here on that at 251-343-0106. Let's talk about people obeying the law or not obeying the law. Crime trends. Are we rising, staying flat, getting worse for Mobile County? What do you see?
I mean, it's trending down. I can tell you, Mobile as a whole.
The county.
Yeah, city and county. It's been trending down over the last few years. Now, we have had a couple of high-profile mm-hmm. cases here recently. You know, but that you have to look at the big picture. You know, things like, you know, the stabbing this weekend.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back.
You know, a case we had in Wilmer. Those are cases, there's nothing you can do to prevent that.
Right.
You know, they're isolated incidents between, you know, different individuals for whatever reason. So, you know, I was going to try to pull up some numbers real quick.
I'll tell you what, we'll go to the news and let you pull those up and come right back. More with Sheriff Birch right here and your chance to ask the sheriff, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106 gets you through. check in with my man at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale first up here, though. It's Blaine. Blaine, you and I personally, on our personal cell phones, talk about used equipment at Parrish Tractor. You've got a lot of stuff in stock right now.
We do, Sean. So we've been doing a fair number of trade-ins on some of this new equipment. So if you're in the market for anything used, we've got a wide variety. But I know we do have probably 6 or 8 used skid steers that we just traded in here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. So if you're in the market for maybe a used skid steer or a used tractor or zero-turn mower, we've been doing a fair number of trades on them right now. So all different sizes available. So come by, see us, check it out. You can go online, check it out on our website at parrishtractor.com. We've got pictures uploaded on there as well as pricing. So if you're in the market, definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah, you've shown me some stuff lately. There's some deals out there, y'all. So do take advantage of it and go see Blaine. Blaine, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Continue our conversation with Sheriff Birch. Get back to the text line questions here. I've got some of mine I want to ask, but all right, let's go to Jerry in Fort Morgan said, how will the new insurance policy affect the budget for the department? He's probably talking about the insurance for the county. Does that affect y'all?
It ultimately, I think it will affect everyone, but
because it's all out of the same county checkbook, right?
Right. It's not affected us yet that I'm aware of.
All right, Don. And speaking of that, why are people being transported? This person I know is in law enforcement said those are for warrants for unpaid tickets.
Yeah.
So that's why they're getting them. Matt and Daphne said, question for the sheriff. How much oversight is there in how far your personnel is driving their vehicle with gas prices being so high? I know that some live almost to the Florida line and drive government-issued vehicles that far. That's a lot of fuel, and it adds up. Just curious with the budget issues.
You know, it don't impact the budget significantly. You know, those vehicles on average run 12, 14 hours a day anyway. So a 20-minute ride to and from home, it isn't going to make that big of a difference in the overall cost.
Michael said, are they still doing enhanced policing in Pritchard? And if so, how have the crackdowns been going? And thanks for policing all of Mobile County.
We are still policing in Pritchard, and we have a heavy presence there, you know, kind of rotating different days, you know, so there's not a stagnant schedule. This new mayor administration there has been very receptive and working with us. And, you know, we hope to get them on their feet to be able to police themselves in the near future. One of the things we started doing when this new mayor took office is we include them on all of our in-service training.
Okay,
so they attend the same training that the deputies do at no cost to Pritchard. And that way we all, per se, get on the same page. But we're still out there working hand-in-hand with them frequently.
So you feel like there's a point where you can get them up to go on their own?
That's for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, again,
they're still going to do some crime scene stuff?
We will continue to do the homicides, the violent crimes, and crime scene investigations. That's a partnership that we formed with the DA's office and doing it at their request. And so it's for the foreseen future, we'll be doing that.
Okay. This is from, I think, it's Angry Patriot. It said, Sheriff Birch, good afternoon. Thanks for your ongoing hard work. With your great record, can you please explain how difficult it has been with all the changes in law enforcement and technology, how an officer serves for 3 or 4 decades and manages to stay on the right side of the law? We all see those few officers who've crossed the line. We all may know, and we all know how easy it is to make mistakes and stay right with the law. I think the possibility of mistakes is what keeps people from going into law enforcement.
Well, to answer the difficulty with technology for an old guy, it is pretty difficult sometimes. But I, you know, work with a lot of young, talented guys who can keep me on top of technology. You know, there's no excuse for crossing that line. So, you know, temptation, you know, whatever, you took an oath to do the right thing. And I, you know, I have a hard stance on that. You cross that line, you go to jail, period. And, you know, if I'm understanding the question right, you know, there is no excuse for a person who swears to uphold the law to go commit a crime and, you know, not obey the law.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be beyond reproach in that job.
Yep.
Unnamed texture said, Thought you'd make it through. I know Sheriff Birch isn't a traffic guy. You should see his face. But what good is a keep right except to pass law that isn't enforced, and who can change this?
Well,
this is one of your this is a subject you'd like to talk about.
And the keep right, you know, maybe a sign could go up on the overpasses. Hey, dummy, this means you, and make it flash.
But I'm worried those people don't ever even look at the signs.
Yeah.
They're hanging on the steering wheel, like I always say. Hey, look, a baby orangutan. They're hanging on the steering wheel, and like they're not paying attention. Like,
I encountered probably a dozen of those individuals coming back from Montgomery this morning. I just will get married to that left lane.
Yeah.
Traffic backed up a half
mile. Not even get embarrassed about, like, when you come around them and then get back in the right lane to pass. Not like, I thought the embarrassed, they don't get embarrassed. They don't.
They don't. It's just they set their cruise on whatever they may have it set on. And so, yeah, it's frustrating. I don't know what the real answer is other than
we have a law.
Enforcement.
Yeah, we have a law.
But, you know, again, you got to have enough personnel. That'd be city, county, and state to be able to enforce that law.
And I guess you would have to watch them long enough, too, to make sure it wasn't just some exception. Like, okay, this doofus has been doing this for 6 miles or something like that.
Yeah, and again, it's supposed to be for passing. You know, I had a discussion with Representative Stringer on the way up to Montgomery this morning. We rode together. You know, I wish we would be like a lot of other states in several ways. Number one, add that third lane to the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
But also have signs that trucks must stay in right-hand lane. Because when you get two semis side by side, and I'm not downing truckers. We need our truckers. We love our truckers. They get food here. But when they get side by side for 5-6 miles, traffic's backed up for miles. And it's really frustrating.
And I know how much of that is about the governors on those trucks or what's going on. Speaking of the governor, Montgomery, you're up there today.
I was. We went for the signing of HB 254, which is the vessels to be not boarded for safety inspections. You have to have probable cause. That's been a long time coming. Representative Stringer helped get that through. We worked together on it for the last couple of years. So, you know, governor signed that. We got our photos with her. And then another one that we was there for was HB 271, which is a lifetime license for disabled Alabama residents for hunting and fishing.
Awesome.
So, you know, there are a number of parks through the state that will accommodate those. And but again, so going forward, you know, they
can apply for it lifetime.
And lifetime, and, you know, that's for Alabama residents.
Very good.
But you have to be 100% disabled.
Okay. But which is amazing, side note, but have you seen, like, because we do some charity work and stuff with groups that do this, the technology you're talking about, I don't like the technology lets somebody that has that handicap disability get in the woods, the motorized wheel carts and the using pressure from a mouth clench to be able to fire the rifle and stuff like it really is awesome.
It's
stuff.
It's pretty amazing. If you ever get a chance, there's some YouTube things out there.
Yes.
You can watch it, and it's pretty cool.
I look at this stuff, I go, 20 years ago, that person would have never been able to go do this.
Right.
And they've invented things. Now that person, I think it's really cool. All right, coming back, more with the sheriff, 251-343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Also, this, I guess I'll add this in, as I've been doing since last week, and we continue to talk about it. It's important for a sheriff as well, who's running for office. All the discussion we had in this week and the last hour about what can happen with the redrawn AL1, AL2, and other districts, we're all still voting a week from tomorrow. May 19th is still on. I know that Secretary of State's been texting me daily. I know probate judges have been reminding the folks. I'm reminding y'all, May 19th.
Well, you're not wrong often, but it's a week from today.
Yeah, what did I say?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. A week from today. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, May 19th.
Yeah,
May 19th. And it doesn't matter where you live in the county.
You're still voting.
City Mobile, City Criolla, Satsuma, Dauphin Island, out in the county. You can vote in the county race.
Yeah, let's talk about that, too, because you have an ad running here with us that's reminding folks that anywhere in the county you can vote for the sheriff, even if you're in a municipality. So there are people who are confused about that.
I get that question or response every day, several times a day. Oh, we love you. We wish we could vote for you, but I live in the city Mobile, or I live in Mount Vernon, or I live in Dauphin Island.
Right.
It doesn't matter any municipality in Mobile County. You can vote in the sheriff's race.
And we've talked about that before, about like how y'all work in different parts of the county, and for me, it's just like the idea of the GIS map. Take a map of Mobile County, and the sheriff is responsible for all that. Now, you put municipalities on top of that, but your responsibility is the entire county.
Correct.
Even if there's a municipality, you can go into that municipality.
We can, yes.
All right. I know you like to keep it away from traffic discussion, Sheriff, but, this texter says, I was just about to add that about trucks. Those signs on the Bayway, and many of them say stay on the left, too. This texter says that would help if they kept all the trucks in the right-hand lane crossing the causeway in the Bayway. So,
I haven't been across the bay very often recently, but there used to be 6 signs from the digital sign at the tunnel along the Bayway that said trucks use right-hand lane. And there's always a few who don't.
Well, they've just not seen them. Let's see.
Or they can't read English.
Well, I figured you'd fill that in. This texture says, I tell Sheriff Bartz that Leslie and Renee appreciate his hard work on the voting bill, and we wish we could vote for him, but he understands why we can't.
Well, I know who this is, and you can buy me a drink next time at Orange Beach.
There you go. Let's see. Southern Jedi said, I'm sure the sheriff's answered this 1,000 times, but I've heard so many people saying that they are voting for Prine because of body cams. Is this something the sheriff is worried about? I, for one, am for it and still voting for you, but curious.
No, I mean, I don't think that's going to impact the race that much. You know, I see both sides of the argument. You know, I have taken a step, and we now have dash cams in our patrol vehicles and our special operations vehicles. You know, and that's a good start. And, you know, those are in there, you know, to show probable cause on stops, and when we do get in chases, shows the aggressiveness of the person fleeing. But again, I don't see a necessity in the sheriff's office for body cams right now, and I don't think it's going to impact the race really at all.
You know, for you talk about probable cause, and just talking about the voting bill, people need to, like you've described it before, to the way, if you're in your car, you can't get pulled over just to be pulled over. You have to do something to get pulled over. That's right. The analog for the voting bill, right?
It is.
Is there a mechanism that somebody says, I did get stopped for just a thing? Or, you know, like some of the, when you first came on, started talking about this, we had people that said, I think one guy said at Dog River, he got stopped 3 times in a day for a safety inspection.
Yep.
What's the mechanism if that does happen? Do they report it or what?
They can report it to the troopers. They can report it to me. I'll convey it, you know, to the person it needs to go to. And, you know, we're going to be out on the water monitoring that, as will Baldwin County and Orange Beach, you know, to make sure that, you know, that's being complied with. But, you know, you will see a few sheriff's vessels out on the water this year, Dauphin Island, Fowl River, Dog River. But they're not out there for those reasons. We're out there as a courtesy, and somebody happens to break down or you know, boat's disabled in some way or in distress, you know, we'll be out there to assist.
You also get a tough job with flotilla of when people go missing.
Yep. Yeah, and that's
that case recently. So
it is, and that was kind of part of the reason I went to Montgomery this morning also. You know, I really think there is a great need for us to have a helicopter. You know, that there is no agency on the Gulf Coast with a helicopter. And if you think about all the incidents we've had on the water, stranded boaters, swimmers, you know, we've got a port that we have to protect. So that's going to be one of the projects I'll be working on, you know, strongly going forward is to get a helicopter for Mobile County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, well, we think about, and there's, you know, probably the most listened to hour radio I've ever done here, at least in the podcast forum here, and story about somebody who almost died holding on for everything they could, Kevin Olmstead's story. And the amount of boats that were out there searching, but it ended up being one of our local guys here in the fishing guide world that found him, thank God. But how, even though, I mean, in Mississippi Sound, you have all those boats, and they still took them that long to find him.
Right.
I mean, but you think Mississippi Sound, it's huge, though. I mean, you get there trying to cover that in a boat.
It is, and you know, if you, depending on how well those boat captains know those waterways, you know, that can slow the process down. You get an air asset up, you can usually find them pretty quickly. And it wouldn't be used just for, you know, water-type searches. It'd be used for an autistic child who wanders off in the woods, or a dementia patient who wanders off. You know, that's it just would be, I think it's a huge need in this community at this day and time.
Go back to something you said a couple segments ago. We're talking about these, you know, crime stats here, and you had some numbers here about the decline in crime. But you said there's these things that get a lot of attention. We had the stabbing at a graduation party, which, I mean, when you and I were talking before we went on, I'm like, graduation party?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, horrible. I mean, it's horrible anytime to have a stabbing, but, like, you just graduated. Things are good. You're doing the right thing. Like, you know, that one. And then this Wilmer murders. I mean, this is something that I'm not naive, but really the audience will tell you, when it first came in, I had trouble talking about it. I said, it's an evil. It's not even crime. I have no words for that.
Without getting into details of the case, you know, not to jeopardize it, you know, in a court, but I will say, based on what we know, at least part of that was planned, and there was some planning that went into it. And, you know, I've read some of the social media comments about, you know, other people's opinions and theories and all that, and the comments by one of the attorneys, you know, of the defendant, there is a lot more that, you know, we just hadn't put out there yet.
You had said that in the press conference, not
for public dissemination.
But it is, and it goes to this, you know, I always talk about the pie chart of violent crime. And there's, you know, it's that wedge. This is the domestic wedge. It's bad guy versus bad guy. Doesn't worry you very much if you're not bad, unless you're nearby and get shot. Domestic, people are like, well, they know. It's that segment of the pie of, like, the random thing. But this one is not random.
It's not random at all.
Okay. Coming right back. More with the sheriff right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:48 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. A few more minutes with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. We'll get your questions in here. Let's see. Can you fine Aaliyah for breaking the law if you see them illegally stop us?
No, I don't know that you could fine them, but again, there is a complaint process, and you know that's what the day in court is for. You know, I think you'll see. You know, I talked with somebody who was Orange Beach last weekend. The weather was too bad this past weekend, but said they did not see any Aaliyah boats down in Orange Beach.
That's from down that area. Jerry in Fort Morgan said the state decided to send all the can't get along with others down to the coast as Marine Police, but then said this. And Jerry, I think I told you, but I have passed this along to lawmakers. We'll see where it goes from that. But he said we still need a tax-free holiday for Marine safety equipment. What do you think about that, Sher?
I agree. There needs to be, you know, it would be kind of crowded for everybody to rush to the store, you know, say West Marine on one day.
So, yes.
You know, but if they made it for a weekend or maybe two weekends to, but yet, you know, we want to encourage everyone to have the proper safety equipment.
Right.
A break on that would, it would encourage people to go get it.
Yeah. I mean, this is, that stuff can, you know, it can add up in cost. And if the state is saying, which I know they are, we want you to be safe on the water.
Yep.
Here's how much we want you to be safe on the water.
And in the end, it's not going to impact the budget, you know, revenues that much. But
don't let them hear you say that in Montgomery. A few more questions here from, and we'll get some more from the text, but I got to come back to this. I do it every month with you. Fentanyl problem in Mobile County, trending down, static, up, where do you see it?
What problem?
Fentanyl. Yeah.
Thankfully, it's trending down right now.
Okay. Because you said that like 2-3 months in a row.
Yeah. I'm very hesitant to say that, you know, but.
I'm knocking on wood for you. I mean, we hope it stays true, but I'm trying to get the real numbers because we have had such a scourge of this over the last years.
We have, you know, and the overdoses are down. The fentanyl that we seize, you know, either on the interstate or through search warrants, that's down. We're just not seeing it as much.
Okay, because I was going to say, we've talked about this before. How much of it is people getting educated about these dangers? How much of it is shutting the southern border? The flow coming from there? I mean,
I think it's impacted by both.
I mean,
certainly shutting it off at the border, or at least, you know, getting it from a, you know, full blown fire hose to a trickle,
mm-hmm.
you know, has helped. And education, I think, is huge too. You know, we get into the schools and talk about it and, you know, try to do different seminars around, you know, the county and talk about it. And I think that has helped significantly.
Yeah, you're on ad not for you, ad here on the station where you talk about the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And you talk about soft on crime policies or this and that, and here's somebody who's not in the ad. What is that relationship, if you can kind of boil it down for me? Being a sheriff, one of 67 in the state, and what happens at the state AG? So, like, how does that affect you or impact y'all?
Yeah, what the largest role – I guess between the sheriff and AG's office is legislation, helping put that together. They got a lot of resources, you know, tell them kind of what you're looking for. They can get their fingers on it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, we have a great relationship with our local DA's office. But I can tell you the last couple of attorney generals have been wonderful to work with. They're very resourceful. And there are cases that, you know, they have tried that, maybe, you know, a past DA did not want to or had other reasons that they didn't want to do it at that time, and they've stepped in. But that goes back, you know, what I talk about with relationships. I mean, there's that's important in the role as a sheriff between your state, local, and federal agencies. You know, I don't know if – am I allowed to say who I think the best AG candidate
is? You do in the commercial, yeah, you
get. Yeah, Catherine Robertson is
by far. Well, that's what I'm getting at, because you go and endorse – AG on this, and you say in your ad there, or you say in her ad with your voice that she's what you need. And I'm trying to figure out just from a citizen's perspective what those things that you need as a sheriff.
So, you know, again, a lot of it goes back to community safety and law enforcement legislation. They do a lot of that research for us. They go up and help us debate it.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's...
So it's kind of from the Montgomery side. It's the policy side.
It is.
Okay.
And, you know, and she's done a wonderful job with that. And I can say she is very, very pro-law enforcement.
Okay. So that's, I mean, because you do say it in the ad, but I wanted to kind of pick through that because I had you in here. Todd in Grand Bay said, Sheriff, can we get the people out from underneath the bridge at Moffitt and I-65, get it cleaned up and put up fencing to where they cannot access under the bridge?
I've seen them too, and... Yeah, you know, and I would love to be able to do more with that. You know, problem is, where do you put them? You know, if they don't have warrants on them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not trespassing on private property, and that's what's huge, private property. There's not really much we can do. You know, if they're not committing a crime, but I'll be glad to. I'll be seeing Chief Jackson here in just a couple hours. I'll be glad to bring that up. But.
Yeah, that's an area that Todd and others have talked about.
Yep.
You see, I mean, right here, well, you pulled into our parking lot. You know, it's around here. It's a tough thing, though, because and having this discussion the other day with somebody, not on the air, but like talking to people with the city and all that, like two groups. They're the people that I think you have good heart, if it's driven by your moral compass, religion, whatever, that you want to help those, you know, the least among us, right? Yep. And to know that we have outreach programs for them and we're doing our best for them is important. Those people tell me we deal with some of those folks and we try to help them. And then there's a group that does not want to be helped. Like there's not, like you couldn't even have 10 more programs. It's not going to make a difference to those people.
For those who don't want help, no. And a lot of those, you know, it's not necessarily that they're mentally ill or they just choose to live that way. And when I've talked with a few of them over the years.
Right.
You know, I can't comprehend it. You know, not there having a place to lay your head.
There was a caller we used to have who charged his phone up. I don't know if they're using solar or going somewhere. So he lived along Three Mile Creek. And pretty special Vietnam veteran would call the show, really kind of got an affinity for him. And I said, hey, we'd be off the air. I'd say, hey, you know, I can get people to help you. He said, I'm happy. I don't want to have the responsibilities. I want to live here. He was one, actually. He said, there's people coming in here to where we are and leaving a bunch of trash and stuff. And he was upset. He wanted to keep everything clean. It was kind of he chose it. But I want to make sure, I think we are in the city and the county, those people that they need a leg up to get them back on the right track. That we're doing that. But then I talked to these people that said, we help those people, but there's a bunch of people you see out there you think are like that don't accept any help.
There are. You know, and I will say, you know, I have been involved in some meetings, you know, in the past, you know, recent past, with the city and some private entities that I think there's going to be some steps in the right direction coming up, you know, for temporary housing for a homeless, to maybe give them that leg up and help them seek employment if they want that help.
Okay. Question here from Andrea. Would a helicopter be better than drones? Could you use drones to do that surveillance?
For surveillance,
or to find somebody.
But, you know, a drone, let's just say we see a person whose, you know, boat has capsized, mm-hmm. can't use a drone
can't render
to pluck
assistance.
Them out of the water.
Yeah.
So, and again, you know, a drone, it was better in some ways, you know, but then you have that, you know.
Y'all have some drones, too.
We've got some state-of-the-art drones.
Because, so. I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying about the helicopter being able to render assistance, but in the meanwhile, in the short term, if you don't have it, the drone says, there's Sullivan wearing his Mae West life jacket, you know, right there. Boats, here's a GPS coordinate, go there.
Yep. You know, and it's, let's just say, it's not the same as, you know, in a drone, you can locate them mm-hmm. and send the pin. Where, you know, a helicopter, you've got a pilot and usually a co-pilot who can be talking on the radio. Okay, you're going to be coming through, you know, a marshy area. Mm-hmm. You know, turn left there to get to where you are, because they can see, you know, the person needs to be rescued and any vessels that are coming in
right.
to do the rescue. So yeah, there are benefits of both.
Maybe you use both. You know, a lot of times these things happen at night too.
Yep.
So you can use both to try to find that heat signature or whatever yep. to find the person.
Yeah, like most helicopters now, and some of our drones have FLIR, so we can use those for that.
Good stuff. All right, we're winding up now, but two things. First website for the Mobile County Sheriff's Office is?
MobileSO.com.
Okay. Who's in jail, all that stuff?
All the fun stuff.
Right, and since we are just a week out from the 19th for your campaign?
SheriffPaulBurch.com.
Good stuff. Good to see you, Sheriff.
All right, thank you.
Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.